everybody. I'm Bishop Daniel Flores, the Bishop of the Diocese of Brownsville in Texas. It's the diocese at the very southern tip, close to the Mexican border, across from Matamoros, Mexico. And I'm very happy to be able to spend a little time kind of talking about the new directory of catechesis that the Holy See has recently published, and which is will soon be available in all the languages of the world. But to offer a few thoughts, especially with regard to how the new directory sort of helps to orient us to understand all of us, the baptized, as having a responsibility in catechesis and having a mission to accomplish in evangelizing and in teaching the faith to those around us. And today, to kind of speak to you especially about how this manifests itself and shows itself in family life. The document has some very beautiful sort of points that help us, that we have to kind of think about and think about how to apply how the gospel takes root in the family, and how the family both is a place where evangelization and catechesis is received, and then the family, by the grace of the sacrifice of Christ and of His love present in our lives, then becomes a sign of the gospel itself in the world. And it's something that, of course, sounds very beautiful, but it has to be lived out in the practical sort of day-to-day sort of putting into our own flesh the mystery of the love of God, which has been manifested. And it's with that I'd like to kind of begin and just kind of hit a few points here that I think are very worth our reflection and kind of thinking about how we can put this into practice in our families and in our parishes, most of all. One of the things that the document talks about is that all of us have a responsibility as the baptized to not only announce the faith, but also to be transmitters and lead others into the mystery of Christ and the mystery of God's love. And it kind of keeps emphasizing to us this, the importance of the kerygma in our teaching, in our evangelizing, in our catechesis. And the kerygma is basically the announcement of the of what has happened that changes us as Catholics, changes us as Christians, as the baptized. And that is that God has manifested His love to us in Christ Jesus, His Son. And that this mystery, of course, Jesus taught and He healed and He did many things, but this mystery ultimately reaches its culmination in the gift of Christ of Himself for the life of the world, in the mystery of His passion, the mystery of His death, and of His rising from the dead and ascending of the Holy Spirit. This is the announcement which you can find sort of in the Acts of the Apostles, when it's like, for example, when St. Peter stands up before the crowds in Jerusalem and announces this Jesus who was crucified is risen from the dead. This is our hope. This we receive this in faith, and it becomes the sort of the light which sort of illumines kind of the way we look at reality. We look at our own lives, and we look at the lives and the future. We look at our present, and we try to share with others the beauty of this gift, because what we have believed, as St. John says in his first letter, is that God has loved us. This is, before anything else, the announcement. And how do we know God has loved us? Because He has sent us His Son, Christ Jesus, who lived among us. The Word became flesh, and He suffered, and He died, and He rose again. He sends us the Holy Spirit, and the love of God has been poured into our hearts. This is the announcement that changes everything. But it's not just an announcement, because if it were just an announcement, it would just be in the head. It is a pouring out. And this has come into the world, and we in the church and in our families have to in some way let this transformation, this pouring out of the love of God into our hearts, to be something that we teach and that we talk about, but also something that we live in the daily sort of witness that we give. And this is where all of us have a role as catechists in some way, in the sense that we are trying to give witness to and transmit this pouring out, this giving of the love, which we then are called to respond to. Because really, the faith that we have is not just a thing that I believe this, and therefore life goes on as if nothing happened, but that it is transformative. And the transformation is our ability to respond in a similar fashion. That is, God has loved us, and we try to love God by the gift that He gives us. It is a grace to respond to Christ in His love. And so we are seeking to transmit the mystery of Christ and of His love. This is a particularly important sort of preliminary perspective to kind of then understand what the implications of this are in for family life, because the family is called both to be a recipient of the announcement and then also a sign and a presence of the announcement, an announcement in itself. And the document does speak about that, that marriage and family life is itself an announcement of the gospel. It's a presence that announces that the love of Christ is truly present in us and with us. So the looking at it this way, what happens is that the document kind of talks a little bit about what family kind of is in a kind of a general way. And it's in the most basic sort of sense, it is all for all of us, the first experience of interpersonal relation. We come into this world related to each other. And sometimes that's understood by blood, but related in just because we're in this together and none of us are an island and we're not. And we begin in a family life to kind of experience what the implications of this relationality is. Parents, children, grandparents, uncles, aunts, cousins. And it's very practical and it's daily and it's where we learn as human beings how to understand ourselves as creatures with mind and heart made for relation. We don't come into this world by ourselves, and we don't go through this world by ourselves, and we don't leave it by ourselves. We are related to each other. And so the document talks about that the family is that initial relation, that sort of gathering of relations, a family, through which we are introduced to the family of the human family and to the family of God, family of grace, the family of all the brothers and sisters of Christ, as the Lord himself says, those who do the will of the Father. And so this is an introduction to us, the family life, of what we first learn, that love is a gift, and it's a free gift, at least that it's in the way it's supposed to work. And it's not, you know, love is not a business contract, and love is not something that we kind of understand only in terms of I give to you and you give to me, and so, but rather it's a gift and it's freely given, and it overcomes our self-centeredness. It helps, and it's based upon our ability to kind of begin to think of the other, because we accompany each other in this life, and we were meant to support each other and to help each other. This happens in the family, from the youngest to our most vulnerable, to the elderly, and all of the family members in between, that we have a special sort of sense of giving of ourselves so that others may flourish and do well and be and know the joy of life. And a family is where we accompany each other in the sorrows of life. Initially, it's that first sort of kind of experience. And so obviously this kind of opens up for us how it is that the gospel takes root in a family, so the document sort of emphasizes there are certain moments in family life when the grace of the Lord Jesus kind of can be announced in a new way and reemphasized, and then the formation that comes with it, the catechetical formation, kind of goes unfolding, because it is an unfolding. I mean, we don't come into this world understanding everything right away. Experience has to teach us, and the experience of love and the experience of being loved, the experience of giving and the experience of receiving is something that's why the family is the school of Christian life, as John Paul II used to say, and as every pope since him has said. So we get this, and so the document talks about certain moments that are key moments for catechists and parishes and in dioceses to be particularly aware of, that we help the family, especially there's an emphasis now that we particularly have to work with our young people and our young adults to prepare them to understand what marriage is about, especially marriage as a special consecration, as a consecration to live together and to form a family unit, family reality that has many relations, that is meant to be generous and fruitful. And it's meant to be kind of a sign of hope in the world, where love is really expressed. We can talk about love all day long, but if it has to be expressed, and expressed in a most tender and beautiful way in Christian family life, and that's why it can be a gospel announcement in itself. And so, you know, the teaching of our young people and our young adults about what marriage is about, and not waiting to when they knock on the door and say, okay, we want to get married, what do we do? Which is okay, we help people to understand what they're asking. But even before that, to help people understand the consecration. And the document talks about that marriage is a consecration that prepares for the Christian evangelization and formation of their children. There's already a grace attached to the sacrament that we have to help keep kindled. That needs also some formation. That is part of what the mission is about. And then as families sort of grow, because families go through periods. I mean, there's an unfolding. When parents come to have their children baptized, to help them to understand what they're asking and to help them to be equipped to be the ones who teach the daily things as their children get older. Because really, the living out of the baptism of an infant, for example, is something that is lived out first in a family situation of generosity and of care and of willingness to give and even willingness to sacrifice. Something that I would prefer for the sake of the children, because that's part of the loving message. Just like later in life, children often have to maybe give up something that they would prefer to do because there's a spirit of love there to take care of an elderly parent. These things are all related, and so this catechesis that goes on with the moments of life. So the children, time of baptism, but also to help the parents to lead them as they prepare for the other moments of initiation, whether it's First Communion or confirmation, and then later when maybe the children themselves are getting ready to think about marriage, or a priestly or religious vocation, which is also part of that unfolding of the Christian vocation. But it's in a family that sort of is always going to have its context, and as children get older, that's not the only context they live the faith. But it is kind of the initial nurturing one, and we never can think as if it doesn't matter anymore that we're too old to think about our family relations. And we always have them, and we accompany them as we ask God's grace. So these moments. One of the beautiful things that the document talks about is that the family is a light that teaches the church, that is the church in a more formal sense, the catechist in the parish and the pastor or the deacons and everybody and the diocese and all the way up. That the family teaches us all something, and that is that Christian life is every day, and it's every day a relationship of love. And that this is the announcement that the love of God is real in our lives, and that it sometimes costs us to be faithful to this love, and sometimes we have to die a little bit to ourselves. But that's ultimately very beautiful, and it brings joy. And that this is something that kind of keeps us on the parish level, and the diocesan level, and on other levels from making the faith into too much of an abstraction, as if it's just a bunch of nice thoughts that we have. But rather that it's something that has to be enfleshed in the faith, needs to bear fruit in love. Otherwise, we're not doing what the Lord Jesus asked us to do. It's not bearing the fruit the Lord Jesus has asked us to bear. So it's a testimony. It's more basically occasional. The document says this, that as things happen in life, we respond or we don't in a Christian way and a Catholic way. And that's something that forms and teaches and is a catechetical reality. And it's ultimately something that always gives witness back to this fact that love is patient, love is kind, love does not put on airs. All those things St. Paul talks about that most people use as the second reading in their weddings. That's the testimony, that's the announcement, and that's also the underlying basis for all of our catechesis. We aim to be a people whose faith generates love. We believe in the Christ who has loved us, sent by the Father, and we try to give witness to it. That's the challenge. So in that sense, the moments of catechesis are very important to kind of be conscious of, but always returning to the kerygma and how important it is, and that the family kind of naturally has a connection to the larger life of the church. It informs the church. It keeps us real. But also the church, the community, the wider community, when we speak about the church, the wider community, I'm talking about the parish, or I'm talking about the diocese, or I'm talking about other levels, so to speak, of relationality, which we have, kind of by teaching, when catechists teach, when father preaches, or the deacon, or when someone gives an instruction or a conference, is meant to always remind us all, especially the family, of that light, which is Christ, and his passion, death, and resurrection, and ascending of the Holy Spirit, which then helps us to read our lives, because we really have to understand our lives as inside the mystery of Christ, inside of this love, as kind of a reflection of it, and not to understand it in sort of purely technical or as if all of this was a cosmic accident. We aren't cosmic accidents. We live in the mystery of Christ's love, and it is a passion, it is a dying, it is a rising, and the Paschal mystery is something that we're living all the time. And so the wider community also, it has this important role to kind of form the faith. And the formation of the faith, catechetics, all the things that we try to teach, has this end, it has this purpose, which is to help the family and to help the wider community understand ourselves in the light of the love of Christ revealed to us. And that's who we are. And that's who we are trying to be faithful to. The family, in that sense, is constantly giving witness to the beauty of self-gift, the beauty of forgiveness, although it's difficult. Nothing is more difficult than forgiveness when sometimes the family is involved. Forgiveness, hope, not giving up, moving forward, accompanying one another. The beautiful word accompagnamiento that the Holy Father uses, this accompaniment, which is so much a sign of the Christian life, the God who accompanies us and we who accompany one another. These are the things that kind of animate the way that the document talks about this. And above all, this is about how this love is shown all along the spectrum of life, all the way into the intergenerational, the document calls it. You know, grandparents, the document makes a better point, have a special role to play. And I invite you to read that and look at that and to appreciate what that is. Finally, I would just like to point out that the document does spend some time talking about the reality of the world today, that we know that families often live in sort of very complex situations. Families have the conditions and the situations and the relations have kind of changed. There's some problematic, complex situations, frictions, tensions, and the document kind of goes through that. We all know families that are struggling. Our own family members are struggling to kind of reconcile what our family life is like and what the gospel calls us to. And the document doesn't hide from that, but what it does, it encourages us all as Catholics that we can't as a church say to people, oh, I'm sorry, just close the door on them and say, you know, you're living in a situation I just can't deal with. And we can't close the door, that the world still has a desire for a genuine familial charity and love, and that there are many who are searching. And that we need to, and there are many who are wounded, and that we need to be a people who accompany that, who listen to it, and who treat with great respect every person. And invite them to reflect upon the gospel, to respond to Jesus himself, and accompany them. And sometimes it's helpful if there's small groups that kind of accompany one another who are living in similar difficult situations, painful situations, or situations where they kind of think maybe they want to draw closer to Christ in the church, but maybe not. And so, but instead of closing, we can't close doors in the sense that say, I can't talk to you because it's not the way of Christ. The way of Christ is always to say, well, I'm here as a faithful Catholic. I'm here as a Christian. And my first obligation is to love. And loving means that I have to listen and respect and encourage and accompany. And then leave to the freedom of people to figure out how close they want to get to the church, whether they want to kind of enter into the fullness of the life and communion of the Catholic Church, or whether they just kind of would just like to kind of know more about Jesus, but need someone to listen to them and need someone to kind of help explain kind of the challenge of the gospel, the challenge of his mercy, and the challenge of his love, and to kind of help to heal some of those wounds. There are many wounds that come from love. If it's lived in a difficult way, that's why forgiveness is such an important part of a Christian life, because that's life. But we try, and there is a responsibility for those of us in the church, especially who are who are in full communion and trying to live our faith and so on and so forth. For those who are thinking or who are struggling, but who are asking, we have a responsibility to be close as a people of love, to listen, and as a people of love to encourage, and to respect their conscience and their freedom, but always to be honest about what the church transmits to us with regard to the teaching of Christ, his teaching about what life is about, where life is going, and what ultimately how all things converge in the mystery of Christ's love, his fidelity, in his passion, death, and resurrection. There are challenges. We pray for the grace of the Holy Spirit. This is constant in the document to kind of help us be capable of receiving the gospel. We have to always be recipients of the Holy Spirit, recipients of the announcement, formed in it solidly and strongly, in faithfulness to what we have received from the apostles, and then to transmit that, but always to transmit it in a way that manifests the eminent and beautiful charity and love of Christ. We are sowers of the seed in that sense, and we do not know really what fruit will be born by an act of charity or kindness or accompaniment that we offer to someone who is struggling. And that's a deep part of our responsibility as catechists and as family members. So I invite everyone to kind of take some time to look at this document. There's some very important things that are said about family life and about its role and about our work in the church of helping to form family life in the world we're living in. And that's the world we got. And there's no use sort of like sectioning off parts that we don't want to deal with. We have to deal with the world and show it love. And the world is about people. And family life is where people really first begin to learn what love is about. And the gospel brings that to fruit. God bless you all. I encourage you to look at the document and to give it some prayerful meditation. And may God continue to guide us all and protect us as we seek to be faithful witnesses to the love of Christ in the world. Thank you.